Welcome.
You're listening to AMPTO, the AMPO podcast. I'm Ellen Zavisco, Transportation Planning Manager with AMPO, which is the Association of Metropolitan Planning Organizations. For this episode, I'm speaking with Chris Pollard, who manages the Office of GIS for the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission, which serves as, among many other things, the MPO for the Philadelphia region. And we're focusing today on data visualization. We'll talk about what DVRPC is doing in that realm that other MPOs can learn from. And with that, my first question to Chris is, tell us a bit about your career and how you came to work at DVRPC.
Thanks, Ellen, for inviting me. Excited to be here today to talk about GIS, geospatial technology, and data visualization. And bonus, it's GIS Day. So happy GIS Day to all that are listening. So it aligns with sort of the things we're going to talk about today. But yeah, so like you mentioned, I'm the GIS manager here at DVRPC, and I've been here for over 25 years. If we go back to when my career started, I graduated in 1999 from Kutztown University with a bachelor's degree in geography with a focus on applied geography, looking at working with field methods and collecting data, as well as being introduced to digital and manual cartography, which is great, and a software package called Harvard Graphics, which was really focused on like infographics, bringing in charts and data, and then bringing that in with some of the maps that we were making with our GIS desktops back in the 90s. So it was really my first foray into that. I got really hooked with that, with the data visualization aspects of being able to take different type of data and how to present that and tell a story with it. And so with being a Kutztown, most programs have internships. At DVRPC, we bring in a lot of interns from different universities. And I think that's really what helped me land on this track of GIS, was that I landed an internship working with a small nonprofit environmental conservation group in Emmaus, Pennsylvania, which is here in the south and so southeast PA, really doing some mapping and analysis for a municipality for their environmental resource inventory. So I was in charge of all the mapping with that, and even was involved with creating a sort of rails to trails wall kiosk map. So that was good. It was my first instance of taking some of the cartographic skills that I'd learned and being able to use that and help the local communities build this map to their trail. And so gaining that knowledge at the internship, one of the things that it led to was presenting at, there's an organization called the Pennsylvania Environmental Council. And so they hosted a conference where I presented on the ERI work that I was doing for Wildlife Conservancy. And that led me to my first sort of like job right out of college. So being able to have that experience, not only doing and working within the field, but then having the opportunity to present. And so I really, one of those things that at DVRPC that I try to do is work with some of our interns. I think that's really important, being able to help and mentor and guide young students and professionals that are getting into the field, whether it's planning or GIS or data visualization. I mean, because I think about those times 20 plus years ago, on those skill sets and opportunities that I had kept me integrated and really motivated to work in this space and in this field. Yeah. And then so right out of college, after I graduated, I ended up landing a job with the Pennsylvania Environmental Council, working on actually digitizing and creating conservation easements and preserved farm, actually working with deeds and reading papers and actually really grunt work of going through these legal documentations and creating these polygons that we would generate and drop on a map. So that it was something that, you know, back in the late 90s with GIS, that there was roads and water bodies, but these other ancillary layers that were needed for planning purposes just didn't exist. And someone had to go and create them. So that was one of my projects working for Pennsylvania Environmental Council, was to create this farmland preservation and conservation easement lands and create like a GIS data set for southeastern Pennsylvania. And it happened to be in collaboration and work for the DVRPC. So that sort of was like the breadcrumbs that led me to like understanding or knowing who they were as an organization. And a position opened up at DVRPC for a GIS analyst. And so one of my lab partners from Kutztown was working at DBRPC. He'd recently gotten hired and he said, hey, they're hiring. This is really this NPO, who I didn't know who they were and or the work that they were doing. And it was around regional transportation planning and things that I wasn't really exposed to because I was really focused on the environmental planning side of things. And I was able to get hired at DBRPC as a GIS analyst doing cartography, map making, working in a program called MicroStation, which I wasn't exposed to, but it was really the platform that the DOTs were using. And the DOTs are really vital to the work that we as an MPO do. And so it was creating traffic count maps and regional maps with different types of data sets overlaid on top of them. So it was a lot of digitizing and data creation. And those are skills that I ended up learning at my internship as well as through my undergrad program. So I was really exposed to some of that early on. And still 25 years later, I'm digitizing, writing metadata, and like utilizing those skill sets now in this position. And then over the years, one of the things besides as an analyst being there 25 years, I ended up supporting a lot of the work we were doing within our different planning departments, long-range planning, capital improvement programs, our transit bike ped. And really with the advent of web mapping was how can we take this data that we have that sort of might be in reports or in wall size maps or trapped in PDFs and how can we get this out to the public? How can we get this out to some of our planning partners or other users? So I spent a lot of my years doing a lot of our web mapping applications. So trying to figure out ways to visualize that data, not only the maps, but like the information and data behind it. A unique track for me with working with that and all the different technologies around web mapping and visualization over the years. So it's really kept me locked in here at DBRPC, which is something to say about the agency. I haven't been here for 25 plus years. I love the work that I'm doing and it's and it varies and it's different. And there's a lot to fun challenges to some of the work.
That's great. And I want to talk about more some of that, some of the fun stuff, some of the challenges. I found it interesting what you said about learning about a job at an MPO and going, what the heck's an MPO? That's a very common thing in this world that maybe you heard of an MPO if you went to planning school, if you came through a different route, maybe you didn't. But yeah, that's certainly not uncommon in the MPO world. I also really loved what you said about working with interns and people who are new to the professional world. I've worked with a lot of interns and AmeriCorps members over the years, and it's a lot of fun and it's really rewarding to help people learn their way into the workforce and learn about the jobs that are available and all that good stuff. So that's cool that you're doing that. So I want to talk to you about some of the work you guys have done at DBRPC. It would take us many days to talk about all of the different things you've done. I'm just glancing through your maps and applications page, and it's amazing. We'll share a link to this with the podcast so folks can look through it. But there's so many different things on here. A lot of, as you said, a lot of bike ped related maps, crash data, other transportation maps, freight, just other things that are related to the work that MPOs do, English proficiency and access and the different, your tip and your long range plan and all that good stuff. Obviously, you guys have limited staff there to work on this. So what sort of processes have you used over the years to figure out which projects to take on?
I think I've really been lucky to work for an organization that embraces and encourages innovation in geospatial technology. So like I'd said, maybe like middle 2000s, like 2005, we were really looking at ways, we were creating all these map viewers, but really then trying to figure out like when Google Maps came on board and dropping pins and not only putting our data out there, but how can we as a public agency do public outreach and collect input on some of the work that we're doing around safety. There was corridor studies that we were doing. And so what were some of the impediments and some of the built environment that we were out there collecting data on, but we wanted to hear about some of the issues that folks were having. And so when Google Maps came out and that technology, I was lucky enough to work with a programmer. We created a web mapping app where the public or anybody could go in and drop in a pin on a map, you know, and then folks could either like it or dislike it, or they can make comments themselves. Like, I also have a problem crossing this intersection due to the speed limit or sight visibility and stuff like that. And so one of the things that he taught and he brought to us was like, we could build this so that it can be modular, that we can build components that if we take this and we do another corridor study in a different part of the region, or we want to collect input on our tip projects, we can build platforms that can have the same bones, but then we can swap out like the logos or the colors or the theme or the information we wanted to get based on the program. Because like you had mentioned, we've got so many different programs that we're doing, and it's really hard to like, we don't want to build an app for everybody custom from scratch. So we started doing that, and it really led to this sort of like that this ethos for let's build modularity in our applications. And it took a few years after that when, I think it was around 2012, when the open source web mapping community really came on board, and open data as well. So the city of Philadelphia started some open data movements and getting geospatial data published in some sort of map service or open data format. And there were these, it was something called Code for America started within the United States around then. And Philly was really one of the major cities to embrace this civic engagement and different leveraging of open data and technology together. And so there was really this wonderful vibe and movement in the city from different organizations. And so one of the things that came out of that was other folks in different parts of the United States were also using some of this web mapping technology. And so similar to the Google Maps effort, there was this mapping template. It was like a really responsive, simple template for building web mapping applications using open source web mapping technology and web development. So it was one of those things that like this, the contributions and development of one other planner that was in upstate New York built this open source platform that I was able to then utilize and start putting a lot of our web mapping applications into. So the not being able to have a full team of developers on staff, but really like embrace the different, the geospatial technology community that was out there and utilize some of that networking to talk to other similar professionals that were like me, like geo, like we call ourselves geo hacks, like GIS folks that have dabbled into sort of development coding, because that wasn't really our specialty, but we wanted to get information and put it into web mapping applications, whether it's data visualizations with charts, interactive data, so that folks can like filter the information or just clicking on pins on a map. So that spurred a lot of our early web mapping applications. But then it started getting way too many. And so we started doing, one of the things we did, because there's so many different programs, we started something called the Web Products Working Group, where we brought together myself and a handful of others that were building or responsible for these web mapping applications, and then brought in our office managers and executive management to talk about all the work that we're doing within all the different departments for the fiscal years. Each year, every MBO has a work program, and you go through all the different programs and projects. So we'd get together as a group. We would do this four times a year. And collect all of and talk about the different programs and product deliverables, whether it was going to be a report or maybe did we want to switch this over into a web platform? Because a lot of our planning partners wanted to get away from that the static maps and information and just be able to open it up in a web browser and zoom into their local municipality or county. So that really made us think about like holistically from an organization, like we don't want to say yes to everything. But how can we go about this in an efficient way to, you know, because everyone wanted one and everyone had a priority of high, but we were, as planners, we needed to communicate amongst each other to say, all right, what's the time frame? What does everything look like? When are we meeting with our stakeholders? So it really made us as an agency, like we found it beneficial to get everyone in a room because we were talking about like delivery of products. You're not about just the individual, like, all right, we've got this meeting set up with this county. Who's going to be part of that meeting and who's attending those meetings and what kind of information do we want to get from them? So it was good to bring in some of the techies to these web product working group meetings, because then we would start asking questions about data collection. And is this a regional project, a county project, or a bi-state project? So those are some of the challenges we've had as a bi-state MPO building applications that might be on one side of the river or the other for each other. And so, yeah, so the Web Products Working Group was really great for us as an agency to help us streamline the work that we were going to do, be able to bring in. We realized that there was a need for this, so we were able to help build some of our capacity from to be able to support the data visualization work that we were doing. So we've been able to, in the past few years, bring on some data specialists. So those that are more versed in coding, because we realized that like writing scripts and running some of the analysis for the data we're doing is just like a plug and play of different variables of census data or different spatial analysis. So gone are the days of me having to bring in and rerun spatial analysis with the same six data sets. We're now able to utilize Python and R, and we have these programmers who can really help us create the data in the output, look at the information, and similar to the open source platforms we've built in templates, we've gone over the years and tweaked those and have our own templates that we've then been able to utilize for our application. So some of our more recent applications you'll see on our maps and apps page, they all have a sort of a similar feel to them, like a similar UI, UX, like a sidebar and similar navigation. And that's something that we really want our planning partners like and some of our other users and the people we work with, because it's not something new every time. There's the home button or the interactive map, like the navigation is very similar. And we've tried exploring building more robust custom applications, and it just gets people lost. So I think the simple approach really works for us when we're building these. And I can, and having talked to other agencies, I think some of them feel the same way. Like you don't really know who your end user is sometimes. And so you can, it comes down to a handful of people figuring out the functionality of these applications. We're going to have the user do A, B, and C. And maybe it's too many clicks, or they may not want to be able to do that. So sometimes if we can streamline it back, sometimes we might just want to get them right to the data because they might want to bring it into their own desktop GIS, or they might just want to be able to zoom in and take a screenshot or print out like the map or download the data. So those are all things that, as we've been advancing over the years, we've been able to collect some feedback and be able to make improvements to the apps and the work that we've been doing to better suit our end users.
Sounds like you all have taken a really thoughtful approach to which projects to take on and then how to streamline that work, so you're not reinventing the wheel with each map, with each project. You mentioned that you guys are, of course, a bi-state MPO. You covered the Philadelphia region and the suburbs on the Pennsylvania side, as well as on the New Jersey side. One of the challenges of that, of course, is that you're getting data from your states that might be in different formats. For instance, your crash data, your freight data, et cetera. What solutions have you and your team found for dealing with that challenge?
I think we're lucky that the GIS team, some of our planning and data team, have been here at DRPC for years. So we've gotten a good grasp of the different various data sets that we utilize in our work from our planning partners, from the DOTs, and from some of these other agencies. I think it's a trial and error. Like we've run into these compiling and these analysis issues on a regional level, like multiple times. And sometimes it's been the approach of like, all right, well, let's just modify the data this way, or let's just, each approach was always different. Not until the past few years where we've really taken this big approach with when we brought in our data specialists and thinking more about a different approach to how we're going about our data collection and our analysis. So such as, you know, the crash data. Before, we would just grab the data and just put it into a database and then utilize it for the specific needs, a corridor study or just making county maps. But we really didn't think about until we started to create regional analysis and doing a lot more of the scripting where we were trying to come up with a data schema so that we could rerun some of these analysis and evaluations of our TIP projects or major regional projects that go into our long range plan. So we were constantly, every year we were bringing in this data and we were spending a lot of hours like running analysis and scoring these TIP projects. Like, what's the pavement condition? What's the bridge condition? What are the crashes like around there? And it was a lot of work and a lot of manual work for the GIS team to go about running all of this in a desktop GIS. So we've migrated, like I'd said, started scripting some of how we were going to run these analyses putting them into sort of a Postgres database, really taking advantage of some of the tools that are out there that allow us to do more robust data analysis so that we can look at, from a tech standpoint, we can see the variables that are being inputted into the evaluation. So typically in GIS, if you run a busser and then you run an intersection, then you run an overlay and a dissolved, you can't visually see anything. Like, it outputs four different files. So while looking at on a scripting standpoint, we can see the variables. We can see the thresholds that were set in. So, and then it runs super quick. It takes all of a few seconds to rerun this robust analysis where we're looking at multiple GIS data sets. And so once we started doing that, we realized, all right, we need to come up with some data schema and actually write out the conflation issues that we were having with some of the data sets on a regional level and our ETL process. So really getting into documentation. And that's something that I can't emphasize enough to any organization that's out there. Like, documentation is key. Like, whether you're downloading the data and you're collecting the year that it was collected, what agency and the contact person, because we run into issues over the past few years with retention, whether it's staff retiring or taking other jobs and positions. And we've lost a handful of really key, important sort of data coordination positions that sort of had that internal knowledge. And trying to look at documentation, if we had this documentation that we have now for that, it would have really helped us avoid some of the challenges of what decisions were made to come up with these total values of different data sets coming from different states into the analysis and everything that we were doing there. So I think one of the other solutions that we've come up with as well is one of the things we've done at DeepRPC is we really pride ourselves on our collaboration and being able to have really good partnerships with our different planning partners and planning, like different organizations we work with. Not only do we get feedback from them on some improvements, sometimes we'll provide feedback back to them and say, hey, it would be really good if you added this bridge key ID into this one data set, because it's the DOTs are in charge of operations, maintaining the roads, and they've got robust databases with 50 different data tables and different departments feeding into one massive system. So we don't have access to that. Sometimes we'll get the outputs of that. So we sometimes will try and figure out ways, like, how can we communicate back to them that, hey, this would really benefit not only us and the work we're doing, but the planning partners and anyone else who might come to you, a consultant or whoever that might utilize this information and data in the work that they're doing. Sometimes just sending an email and trying to build that connection has helped us with these challenges because, you know, some people are scared to send emails because they think government agencies can just be a black hole. I'm never going to get response back. And we've been the opposite. We get emails all the time about our data, about some information. Hey, it'd be great if you aggregated data to a different type of geography or level. And we think about it and we'll make that note and say, all right, cool. When we go to rerun this, maybe we'll put in a different type of format for them. It never hurts to try and communicate back to a different agency, you know, where we're collecting and getting information from. But yeah, documentation is also key. Building these web apps and doing any analysis, we try to put data disclaimers on there because data is collected not only differently, some data sets don't exist. And so we'll have to make decisions. We're doing that now, working with different air quality and health data. That's like really been a big one that we're thinking with climate change, like what kind of data is out there that we can utilize on a regional level. And same thing when it comes to like flooding and different other data sets. They're not really fine-grained and neighborhood level. Sometimes they're regional level. So we do the best that we can with the data that's available to us.
I think there's a lot of great lessons there, Chris, in terms of that bi-state work or just working across and different sorts of geographies, the way NPOs do, and especially your points about communication with the public and with your partners and documentation. I know it's difficult along the way to think, oh, I should document that. I should write that down, because you say to yourself, or at least I do, oh, I'm going to remember how I did that, or I'll be sure to communicate that clearly. And then you go back to do it. It's like, how did I do that? I think that's an excellent point. So you've talked about the partnerships. Obviously, you work with a lot of folks who are using your maps, the public and elected officials and different governments around your region. Can you talk a little bit more about feedback you've gotten from them and how it's helped you to improve the products you produce?
Yeah, great question. So for starters, when we started building a lot and deploying a lot of our apps, we really make sure to put on there like the Google Analytics, because it really helps us track usage and page views that come into these. We know that every agency out there sometimes is building different apps for different audiences, subject matter experts. So sometimes it may only be for 4 people that are really interested in like congestion management, or some of our things that we build, like our annual reports. We've been putting those in Esri's story map platform. And we do see when we send that out, we do track and see that there's a huge usage of that for the first few weeks or more. So some of those metrics, looking at usage, really helps us gauge like, all right, are we going to spend the efforts to do that again next time? A lot of the staff work goes into making things look pretty or updating data sets. But sometimes it goes back, like working with these different agencies, we have a lot of different steering committees through who we are as an MPO. So not only do we have our board members and something called our RTC, which is comprised of our planning partners, we bounce a lot of ideas off of them and collect their feedback on things. But our different agencies, like our freight or health, climate, different safety and transportations, we have a lot of different steering committees where we'll work with them to talk about, okay, here's a new data set or here's a new tool. Present that at one of these committee meetings and open it up for some feedback, how folks are using it. So it's really the experts that are in those planning fields, and we'll use them to help us build out. When we started doing a lot of these, the web products working group, we created something called the data innovation team to think about this growing technology and bring in like different planning staff. So not only was it the web and GIS team building these mapping applications, but our different planning staffs were coming in with these skill sets. So we wanted to take on this approach to creating product requirements and really developing user stories that help us guide how we're going to build these web mapping applications. Now, where can we make improvements to them? Because like I'd said, it was either collecting points on a map or doing data viewers, like just pulling the data out from reports and putting it in a web map viewer. We wanted to make sure that we were delivering really good products that were useful to folks. Because we started seeing looking at the Google Analytics, we'd see someone go into one of these web apps and they were only in there for 75 seconds. And it's like, all right, what are they doing? And we wanted to collect that information. So we took advantage when we moved to the Google Workspace platform of being able to build forms and surveys so that we could have anonymous surveys and collect feedback from users. So we started taking on that approach of how are you using this application in your work? Are you a planner? Are you a citizen that's just interested in your neighborhood? Are you an elected official? We wanted to collect some of those user stories to help us guide where we were going with our products. And one of the things that we've gotten lately has really been more along the lines of folks want to download like a spreadsheet and they want just a simple screenshot or a map of the information within their community, their municipality, or their county. And so a lot of the work we do in some other agencies are at the track level. And so it was really hard. We've been focusing a lot of our efforts more recently on how can we work with the web technology to create better outputs, whether it's access to the data or sort of being able to have better print functions so that someone doesn't have to take 6 different screenshots and sit down with and look and hover their mouse over a traffic count and write down all of the information that's inside that traffic count or the tip project and stuff like that. So we try to do our best to bounce some of those ideas, like I said, off those steering committees, as well as collect some feedback on applications. So there's a few of them we're actually going into now. We've been working on like a version 3.0 for some of our applications. So we do a yearly state of the map where we'll look at all of our web mapping applications. I'll look at all the analytics, look at those top 5 and look at some of the bottom ones. And within the web products working group or within some of our data innovation team, we really look at like, all right, which applications are getting old that we might want to sunset? Which ones do we want to continue to expand on? And which ones do we want to merge together? So that's one thing, because we're starting to realize, you pointed this out, like we have a lot of really great web mapping applications, but sometimes we have too many. So I think one of the things with we've been thinking of now is trying to create more of a community profile tool where we get to take all of our information and data and allowing folks to maybe pick, this is the municipality I'm interested in. Show me the land use, the traffic counts, the crashes, like a lot of the sort of the bigger data sets and our more popular apps. And so can we build one useful tool that allows folks to export that data as well as create a printable map of it?
Well, I love that thought you guys are giving to the end user and how people are using it and looking closely at that, which apps get used and how. And I think that's amazing. Of course, you suggested that congestion management isn't the most popular map in the world, which is shocking to me in the MPO world. But I understand that there's going to be a limited number of folks who want to look at that. But you were talking there toward the end about creating some new maps or platforms that are zooming in on one municipality and combining data for that. I imagine a big use for that is writing grant applications and assembling data. That's something, of course, a lot of us are looking at right now. Can you tell me more about the work you're doing in that area?
Yeah. So again, like I'd mentioned, one of the things we get asked about, not only our planning staff, but GIS staff, is, hey, can you make this map a map for a grant application? So we'll spend some time and we'll piece together a whole bunch of different data sets and then create a static map. And then we get feedback and sometimes have to go back and forth. So it takes time. So we were thinking like, all right, what kind of applications can we create that will allow them to just toggle on and off whatever data layer that they're wanting to look at and to be able to then click a print button and export out just a map that overlays the information and data they're looking at. Esri has a really great platform, not only for building story maps, but for the ability to just bring in data sets that you already have published. We utilize Esri's technology to publish and create feature services for like 150 plus of our data sets. And so we utilize that in our web mapping apps, bringing in those services, but their technology allows you to, we can package that up a little bit for everybody using Esri's technology and some web mapping apps. And there's an ability within there to add your own data. And so that was one thing that our planning partners were like, oh, we want to look at these different equity and safety issues, but then we also want to bring in some of our own data. So we were able to, we built a small application for some of our Southeastern PA committee members and planning partners to utilize in some of their work, because we were really pushing sort of these with the transportation bill and the different grants that were out there. And they really like that platform being able to work within a web browser. They didn't need to have a desktop GIS and bring in all of the information for them. And through that work, we heard some more feedback on some of our other custom web mapping applications that we have built that would be great to be able to look at that data on a municipal level, like all in one spreadsheet. So the version 3.0 that I talk about, that's sort of, we were taking that feedback of, we're not aggregating the census tract level data to municipal level, because that's just within our region. There's a handful of census tracts that sort of like cross multiple jurisdictions. And so trying to figure out how to aggregate the population or aggregate some of the other census data to those geography levels is just not going to work. So our approach was, if a census tract falls within a municipality, we're going to give those listings to the end user and package up all of that data together. So they could click a simple download button and it gives them a nice CSV spreadsheet with all the information. So all the census tracts in their municipality, and then a simple print button to be able to print a map to go along with it, and the data table as well. So we've tested it internally with staff. Like, they've asked me for some things, instead of opening up ArcGIS Pro or bringing in all these data sets and making custom maps, I just go to the web viewer now and just two clicks of a button and I'm like, here you go. And it's good enough for them. It fits right into to the Word doc or the Google Doc template that they're building together. And it gives them the information and data that they need there. And I think one of the other initiatives, not only the technology, but I think the knowledge as well, when it comes to subject matter experts that are filling out these grants and applications, one of the things that we've done at DeepRPC is really built something called our Planning Innovation Resource Center. So it's like an internal wiki and a web page for our planning staff to go to where we have guidance standards around data usage, GIS, web mapping, ArcGIS Online. And then we also put up a whole bunch of different training videos. So we do some brown bag lunch presentations. We had one on utilizing Excel, writing code with Python, and working within GIS. And a lot of the issues or questions that we were seeing from planning staff, we've done ways to try and answer that, those questions, and build training to be able to point them to certain resources so that they could do the work themselves. Not that we don't want to do the work, but it really helps speed up the process. And it helps them, the younger planning staff that are coming in, or even the older planning staff that might not use GIS a whole lot, and they're getting questions from planning partners because they're on these steering committees or working with them, they can come right into these resources that we've been publishing and putting out there for them. And they can quickly figure out, oh yeah, there's the steps on how to do a spatial join or bring in the different data layers that they need for their maps for the grant. So it's not only like creating these tools, but really that documentation and that sort of training aspect and giving folks a place to be able to go to and revisit. So we think that's been really beneficial. We've been seeing from some of our newer planning staff, they've found that to be really helpful.
Yeah, that all sounds like it's just incredibly useful for, as you said, your own staff and then other partners who are trying to make use of this data, but may not be GIS experts. They just want to get their hands on the numbers or the maps or whatever they need. So that's great. One last question for you, Chris. I'm interested, what's your favorite project you've worked on lately? Something that was really fun or cool or you're really proud of that you've done lately?
Yeah, well, I think one of my favorite or most proudest accomplishments is I submitted a map years ago for Jack Dangerman, the president of Esri, to use in his planetary that he gives at some of his user conferences. And at the SPED user conference in, I think it was like 2018, 2017, one of my maps was displayed behind Jack on the stage for thousands of people. So it was a visualization of actually looking at vehicular crashes within Pennsylvania. And it was a minimalistic map where each crash was represented by just a dot. And it was shown the whole state, and it was great. Not great, but you could just see the network of the highways. So you didn't need to overlay any of the highway networks. It was just the points from the crashes. And it was pretty striking, like visualization, just seeing the density, not only seeing a handful in different highways or locations, but that heat map where you can like show the areas where there's issues. And so being able to have that show up on stage there, talking about like different ways to visualize like some complex data. So that was probably my personal, one of my favorites. And I think one of the things I really love that we do at the agency is around equity, working with disadvantaged communities and being able to put together programs or outreach to them to hear their issues around their transportation needs or other issues that we might be able to assist them with. So working on different ways of working with census data, being able to run analysis and create some, whether it's web mapping applications, or we get a lot of questions from other MPOs around the work we're doing with our equity. We've got our indicators of potential disadvantage. So within that web mapping application, we get a lot of questions about folks really like the UI UX of the web mapping applications and looking at the chart and the data and information that's in there. So taking on those sort of that open source ethos is a lot of the web mapping applications we build are open source. So we do have a handful of templates where we can share with folks those templates that they can then take what we have and just plug in their own information and data. So we've gone about, we spent some time sort of making sure to create like public our information, our web mapping applications or our analysis in, like I said, like I mentioned before, whether it's in Python or R, we're putting together and documenting and sharing those resources so that other folks may be able to utilize them within the work they're doing. And I think within that equity space, somebody who wants to work with the different census data, like doesn't know it, that works in a different MPO or another location, we're showing them and giving them some of the tools where they can plug and play just their region. They just need to change their state and their county values, and then they can run and create the same analysis that we have. So if they have an understanding of programming with a little bit of help, they can create some similar output. So that's really been something that I'm really proud of, is working on some of that sort of relationships and being available to have those conversations and help others that are interested in the program work we've done around data visualization and analysis.
Those are very cool examples, Chris. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you so much for talking with us on this GIS day.
We will have more episodes coming soon on Amped Up. So please, as they say, rate, review, and subscribe. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care.